Well, hey, everybody, Pastor Steve, it's the end of the week. Hope you've had a good one and you're all excited about being in God's house Sunday to worship, but also life group, and that you're inviting somebody to come with you. Today, we are in Luke chapter 9, so go ahead and open your Bible there. And by the way, I want to share this little story. I was walking over to the recording studio here earlier today, one of our D groups that meets on campus was just letting out. And they were walking out of the building, and it's a group that has three men in it who are older, 70s and 80s, and a couple of younger guys. And I love that mix. And the younger guys, you know, they were walking faster, so they were further ahead, and the three older guys were kind of together, a little bit slower behind, and they were all kind of, you know, either kind of bent over when they walked. They limped just a little bit, you know, arthritis and all of that. And we got to talking about it and just joking. But then I thought, how cool is that? I mean, how great is that? Here's a men's D group meeting in the middle of the day to disciple one another around God's word, and got younger guys and elderly men. I love that. And how many churches do you see three older men, you know, walking slowly, leaving, you know, the church building in the middle of the week because they've been there to grow as disciples and, you know, to engage God's word. And I just thought, what a blessing. It just made me feel good. I just wanted to, so thankful for all of our D groups. So thankful. All right, Luke chapter 9. This is a long chapter. And I've already made a note here. The next time in our reading plan we come to Luke, we'll divide this chapter into two parts. And it's got great stories, great truths, and there are two things that really spoke to my heart in this chapter. I want to share with you one, and this is where I spend most of my time, is on who is Jesus, and then also how we treat unbelievers, those who are not followers or disciples. But let's begin with who is Jesus. In verses 7 through 9, King Herod had heard about Jesus, and he wanted to meet Jesus and wanted to learn more about Jesus. And this is the Herod who had John the Baptist beheaded. In verses 18 to 20, Jesus asked his 12 disciples, "What's the crowd saying about me? What are the people saying? Who do they think I am?" And they said, "Well, they think you're John the Baptist come back from the dead, or one of the other prophets from the Old Testament or something." And then in verse 20, Jesus pointedly asked the 12, "But who do you think I am?" And then Peter gives that answer, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," the Christ, Christos, the Greek word for anointed, which is the equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah. You're the one we've been looking for, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God. And Jesus, yeah, you're right. And then in verses 21 to 22 and verse 44, Jesus tells them that he's going to be crucified, buried, and then he'll be raised from the dead. And then in verses 30 and 31, we have the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain, when Moses and Elijah appear to Jesus, and he's glorified in front of Peter, James, and John. And it's in that experience that the Father says, "Let me tell you who he is." In verse 35, "A voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him.'" He's the Son of God. He's the chosen one. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ, the Savior, the anointed one. Listen to him. That's who Jesus is. But it was interesting. Herod had heard about Jesus and wanted to meet him. The crowd had all these different ideas about who Jesus was. Some said, "You're John the Baptist come back from the dead." Some said, "You're Elijah or Moses or one of the other Old Testament prophets." All these different ideas. You're the Christ. Jesus, right. People had different ideas about who Jesus was when he walked this earth. Today, people still have different ideas about who Jesus is. If you ask a lot of people in the culture, "Who's Jesus?" they'll have all these ideas. But who is Jesus? Well, this may sound silly, but who is Jesus? He's who he is. He's not what everybody thinks he is. Jesus is not something just because somebody has an opinion. Well, I think Jesus is this. Who is Jesus? Jesus is who he is. Who is he? The Son of God, the chosen one, the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior. Jesus is who he is. And if people have different ideas about who he is, well, they have different ideas, but that doesn't mean just because somebody has an idea, just because a friend or a relative of yours, or just because you have an idea about who Jesus is, does not make Jesus that. Jesus is who he is. Son of God, Messiah, Savior. That's who he is. And we have to listen to him. Jesus in verse 26, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, ashamed of who I really am and what I really say, well, on the judgment day, I will be ashamed of him. I will deny him. He will not be in heaven. Jesus is who he is. Even though there's all these different ideas, you know, as Jesus, as people try to make Jesus who they want him to be. It doesn't matter who they want him to be. He is who he is, plain and simple. Now, real quickly, how we treat unbelievers. Well, in chapter 9, look with me at verse 5. As for those who do not receive you, when he sent the 12 out on a preaching mission, those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Okay? You're not responsible for how people respond, whether they believe or not. You share the gospel. That's what the 12 did. They went and shared. The dust, shaking the dust off as a testimony against me. Hey, I'm not responsible for you. I've done my part. But that's not all in this chapter. Toward the end of the chapter, verses 51 and following, when the days were approaching for his ascension, Jesus to go back to the Father in heaven, he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. Verse 53. But they did not receive him. In other words, the people, the Samaritans in that particular village did not receive those Jesus sent ahead. They didn't want to receive Jesus because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. We don't have time to get into all that. But when his disciples, here's the part I want you to see, verse 54. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Jesus, in verse 55, turned and rebuked them. Who? James and John, his disciples. And he said to them, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of. You don't realize how lousy your attitude is by saying something like that. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them. I'm not responsible for you. You're responsible for yourself. I've done my part. But you don't treat them like an enemy. And you don't lambast them, and you don't ask God to destroy them. Because your goal is to save them. I heard a preacher recently on a podcast talking about prophetic preaching, and he said, you have a choice to make when you do prophetic preaching. And I would say this applies to people who are trying to be prophets to the culture, prophets to people in their family. Here's your choice. You can choose just to irritate them or influence them. To irritate them, it's easy. Doesn't take any skill. Just fire away, lambast them. Just wow, and irritate them. You can feel good, but you had no impact. Send down the fire. Or you can choose to influence them. And that's a whole different attitude. And as disciples who want to win people to Jesus, who want to share the gospel, we need to be concerned about influencing, not just irritating. That's a word from that podcast and from God's word. Hey, I'll see you Sunday in church. You be here early, bring somebody with you, and then Monday as we look at the next chapter in our journey through the gospel of Luke. God bless you, everybody.